Welcome, everyone, to the last ever episode of the Breakdown Walls podcast.
Yeah, it's been a good run.
Yeah, it's you know what happens sometimes. Sometimes in life, stuff comes up, and you gotta know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You know, it's time for both me and Sherlock to just move on.
Yeah.
Breakdown Walls podcast has been an important part of our weeks for a long time, but
you never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Yep.
Time enough for counting, and dealing's done.
Yep, that's right. So I would like to thank you all for listening to the show all this time. It's just a shame we have to end it when we did. I was hoping for many more years of magical podcast goodness.
Yeah. But, you know.
Which is exactly what's going to happen. April Fool's.
Hey, April Fool's.
Now, fun fact, I have to applaud you, Sterlock, because I did not, for the audience, I did not clue him in.
Nope.
At all.
I had no idea.
Before the show. But you rolled really well with it. You're like, oh, okay, this is what's happening now.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the Breakdown Walls podcast.
I didn't have anything in mind, so I was like, all right, sure.
Yeah. Welcome to the Breakdown Walls podcast. This is not the last episode of the show.
No, this is not.
We are going to keep rolling because you know what? It's awesome. And of course we were. This April Fool's joke was inspired by a lot of the other April Fool's jokes that I'm seeing today, including even the Critical Role animations campaign did an April Fool's joke today. They announced Critical Role Land, an amusement park where you could take part in both campaigns of Critical Role.
Nice.
Oh god, it was fun. But I was like, you know, we should do something. I was like, yeah, let's just try to do a flat, you know, final show read and see what happens.
Yep.
It was fun. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. We don't have a guest this week, but I do have an update on our guest.
Yeah.
We are going to have our guest. We would probably have him very, 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 very soon, possibly even this week, maybe next week. Except, as it seems typical for me, I caught him at the wrong time.
Oh, no.
Apparently, he's closing on a house, which is awesome, which is tremendous.
Nice.
But it's making him busy. So
yeah.
I told him we're going to hold on for a while. We're going to just keep doing our shows as we do them. Just let me know when he's free, because he's not going to be, once he is available, he's not going to be as difficult to schedule as our previous guest. So,
yep.
So, yeah, it's going to happen. So there you go. This show, I expect, I don't know, unless we go off on some tangents, might be a little bit short. There's not a whole bunch of things to talk about, but there is enough that it's certainly worthy of a show.
Yep.
But there's not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. But there's some stuff, which we will happily talk about in appropriate segments. Now I gotta find... There it is. I found you, Dropbox. I found you.
Yay!
Let me open the gaming news file so I don't mess anything up. But, yeah, that's gonna be our show. It's gonna be a perfectly normal show without any cancellations or anything.
Yep.
Alright. So that's gonna do it for our intro. Let's dive right in to some gaming news. Welcome to gaming news. Alrighty, folks. The first gaming news item today is a news item that I consider at the same time good and also bad.
Yeah.
So, thing one is that PlayStation has confirmed that, yes, they are closing the old stores, PS3, PSP, and PS Vita stores very soon. In fact, the PS3 and PSP stores close on July 2nd, and Vita closes on August 27th. So that sucks. Vita. It sucks a lot. It sucks big time. However, and we've gone over why that sucks. I'm not gonna like go into all of that right now. But there is a positive with this. It's a small one, but it is a positive. I was wrong, and I'm happy I was wrong. As it turns out, although you will not be able to make any purchases, and this includes in-game purchases for like DLC or stuff for games, all the games you own, you actually will be able to re-download them.
Oh, that's good at least.
So post-store closure, everything you own, you still own. You can still go get it and download it and stuff. So you're not losing what you have. You just can't get anything new.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. It's still sad, though.
At least that's standard across platforms, because even Nintendo does that with, like, Super Mario 3D All-Stars and things like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So. We actually got that physically because I just didn't know. I was worried about how they're going to do a digital handling on that, so we just got it physically.
I mean, I was talking to Ray about that the other day, and she was like, I was thinking about getting it physically, but I wasn't really super interested. I was like, no. You might want to, because then you could sell it in like 6 months for like $200.
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah.
Just like, I could just buy it and not open it. Just make a lot of money later.
Yeah, there you go. Unopened copy of Super Mario 3 All-Stars.
Jeez. I mean,
we opened ours, though. Opened it. Misty Foley has to play it, so.
I thought about grabbing it, but I didn't have the money to grab it
at the time.
Before it was over. Even though, like, I don't know, we can't really play the 3D.
I get you though. It's a classic games. You know, I get the desire to get them.
Plus, I mean, they have the soundtracks built into them that you can just listen to.
Yeah, that's
right. Nice. Away, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
All right, it's not really a huge thing now because YouTube's a thing and whatever.
It's still neat. Whatever. Enjoy it. It's awesome. Speaking of that, I didn't write it down, but today is that day. All that Mario stuff is gone. It is gone.
Yep.
And I really believe, based on the Twitter response that I've seen, I really believe that there was like a sect of people, a group of people, holding out hope that they would like turn it around and be like, oh, you're right. We shouldn't get rid of these things. Because there are people today that are, like, just shocked. Like, why?
I mean, you knew this was coming. They said it was coming 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And they did, like, it would be one thing if... I mean, it still sucks.
It does.
I still think it's a terrible decision. I understand why they kind of... I kind of understand why they did it, because, like, they wanted to market FOMO and apparently kind of worked, which is... kind of distressing because I kind of feel like they're gonna do that more in the future.
Well, but that's the thing though. We'll never know if it worked because of the fear of missing out or if it would have worked anyway and people would have just bought up those games because they're Mario.
Yeah, like I feel like they're. See, if I was a Nintendo investor, I'd be kind of furious because like. They are literally throwing away money.
Yeah.
Because Mario games and like their first party games in general are like constant sellers. They never like, you know, they never like really fade. Because you have influxes of people buying new Switches, and then those people will buy the first-party game. So it's just a constant stream of money for Nintendo. I don't know. It just doesn't really make sense for them to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I really think that all of those games would have sold perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Had they not implemented this silly
Mario
thing.
Kart 8. Mario Kart 8 still... It's still like a 4-year-old game. It still sells. Like, it still tops charts. Smash Brothers still tops charts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Breath of the Wild still tops charts.
Yeah. It's a big mistake.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And you're right. I hope they don't look at it like, oh, look, we did it. It's like, this worked. I hope they don't see it like that.
Like,
I don't know, but they probably will.
Don't do that with Skyward Sword. Please don't do that
Sword. Oh, no. That'd be bad.
That'd be real bad.
But positive here that we're talking about, I mean, we went up on a Nintendo tangent there, but positive here is that if when the PlayStation stores, the older stores shut down, you will keep everything you currently have. So
yeah, that's
yay good. That.
For now.
Yes, indeed.
That could change later, but
it could, but at least for now, it's not changing. So
which is
at least good. There's that. Next up, the other PlayStation Plus game for April has been announced. Along with, remember, we're getting Oddworld Soulstorm for nothing, which is freaking cool.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. That's coming April 6th, next week.
No, oh, is that next week already?
Ooh. Yeah, that's next week, dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hope that's playable. At least the same degree that...
Yeah, I imagine it would be. I mean, there is new mechanics, but... It seems to me that, you know, they kind of said it's still the same 2.9D platforming you're used to.
Yeah.
So I imagine it'll be playable.
Cool.
But we'll have to we'll have to experiment and find out.
Yeah.
I'll probably even do a stream of it because, I mean, I might as well give it a stream.
Yeah. I mean, we won't have the benefit of walkthroughs, but.
No, but I'll give it a shot. I'll see what I can figure out. So, Oddworld Soulstorm and Days Gone.
Yay!
So this is a yay, but also the same thing that needed to be clarified before needs to be clarified again when it comes to Ratchet and Clank. Some people, and those people are specifically PS5 owners, are saying, what's the big deal, bruh? And the reason they're saying that is because Days Gone is already in the PS Plus collection.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So if you're a PS5 owner, you already have Days Gone. But you need to understand, folks, that not everyone has a PS5 yet.
No, and that's... You're not the demographic here.
Yep. If you do, you're not the demographic. This is... That adding Days Gone is for PS4 owners.
Yep.
Honestly, I'm starting to wonder, though, if eventually just everyone's going to have the equivalent of the PS Plus collection. I feel like all those games are just going to be, you know, distributed over a series of months.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what the heck? It's fine. It was a thing that was intended to sell PS5s, to help sell PS5s. Like, hey, not only are you going to get a PS5, but you're also going to get access to like 18 games right away that maybe you didn't have before. So, you know, it's still nice.
Yeah.
Days Gone and Oddworld Soulstorm. Look forward to playing that. It's hopefully going to be awesome.
Although
it's a little intimidating because now they're saying there's 1,000 little dudes you got to rescue. 1,000?
That's crazy. Like, I think, how many were in the first game?
250, like, I think.
Or two, yeah.
I think it was like 250, yeah.
Yeah.
And then like 100 of them are in the first three areas, 100 of them of the 250.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of hidden dudes, because I definitely missed a lot of them. Definitely did. How did I miss all of those dudes?
Well, there's a lot of hidden, like, nooks and crannies in that
game.
I guess
there are. Man, Oddworld, bro. I do like it, though. I don't know. Like,
It's got a weird charm to it. I don't know.
I kind of got the feeling it didn't do too well on stream when I played it, but I still like it.
Yeah, it's the kind of game, I don't know, like, I feel like there's an audience for it, but, like, your audience might...
It might not be that audience.
Right. Like...
It's true.
Like, there's... I feel like you have to be in the right mood to watch someone struggle with the same part of something over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Like
I just felt like
I've slowly been making my way through. There's a streamer I like named Pete Dorr. That's D-O-R-R, not D-O-O-R.
Right, okay.
But he's been making his way through when it came out. The Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection.
Oh, Resurrection, yeah.
He's playing it on Legend, and
it's hands.
He's took him 2 hours to get to the first checkpoint. Or the second, well, like technically the second checkpoint.
Whoa.
But yeah, that game is nuts.
That's a hard game, man.
It is.
Misty's been telling me, like, she played a little bit of it. She hasn't played a whole bunch of it, but she grew up playing the original ones. And she's been telling me that is intended to be a very, very difficult game.
It's apparently, like, people are saying, like, unironically, that it, on Legend, it's probably the hardest game ever made.
Ever made?
I've heard that sentence bandied about, like, in complete seriousness, like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't Battletoads up there too? Like the original Battletoads?
Yeah, it's pretty up there. It's actually harder too with two players.
Yeah, it's harder with two players.
It's one of those games that, like, playing it in two players actually makes it harder instead of easier.
Yep, because you can bop your friends, and then you get bopped because you share a life or something like that. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Wow. So yeah, PlayStation Plus looking good again. Good job, guys. Not as impressive as this month though. Like, Final Fantasy VII Remake shocked me.
That was...
like, that
I
shocked
forgot to
me.
Grab that, and whatever.
You still have time. You still have time.
Okay.
It doesn't change until the next one goes live, so it's not going to change until the 6th. So you should still have time.
Okay. I'll grab it then.
Get it today. Get it quick.
Yeah.
Quickly now. Quickly. But that one shocked me.
Yeah.
So, like, it's going to take a lot, I think, for them to top that. So I'm not really expecting them to top it, because it would take a lot for them to top it. But, you know, maybe someday
that
they will.
That is a pretty shocking.
Yeah, that was killer.
Maybe the other shocking thing would be The Last of Us 2.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, this full speculation.
I could see
here,
that
guys,
in the future.
Maybe in June, maybe to celebrate the 1 year.
Ooh, I could see that, actually. Yeah, that would be cool.
Dude, if that happens...
Oh, dude.
I will be on Twitter daily going, hey...
Get this game.
If you don't have this game, get this game. get it.
I can't believe we're almost at a year out.
Yeah, almost a year.
Oh my God. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a good year though. I've finished the game 6 times. I'm happy with it. I'm still missing some collectibles, but I know a better way to approach trying to get them now than I did before. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, you go in reverse. That's the secret. You go to the end of the game in the chapter select, and you start scrolling up to find the last thing you missed. You click on that one because since you can't load from any previous checkpoints after, like, you can't load from the future after you load anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
Okay.
You go to the last thing you're missing.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So that's cool. The big secret. That's a big insider tip. I'm just kidding. it's just something I finally realized.
Reminds me of, like, you remember those old VHS tapes of, like, classified secrets, tips, and strategies, and there was a whole market in the 80s and the early 90s of these tip tapes.
Like, for games?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I recall a couple of them.
There's a huge market of those things, and some of it would be codes, but most of it was just, like, regular gameplay things.
Yeah, yeah. Before the days of YouTube. when companies made their own tip tapes.
So, so fascinating. Like, that stuff is
wait a minute.
Interesting to me. Here, I love.
Here's a fun thought. Not an idea, but a thought. Think about this. With a little bit less production value, isn't PS5 Game Help kind of the return of that idea?
Kind of, but without the
marketing behind
aspect
it.
And the yeah, but yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. And actually, Nintendo kind of did that too with some of the later Mario games. Now you can have if you're stuck on a level, you can just have the game play the level for you.
I don't think it actually plays the game for you. I thought it did.
Okay,
that's what
okay.
we all thought it would do. Oh. What it actually does is it just shows you.
It shows you a demo.
It just shows you a demo of how to do it.
Here's
it
what you should
play
be doing.
It for you. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
I was actually kind of excited when the initial patent went through.
Yeah, it was back in Super Mario Brothers Wii, I think, was the first one.
I think so. And I was like, oh, cool. I can get through parts of a game and just mess around. And if I want to progress more, I can do that. But that's not actually what it was.
That's unfortunate.
it is, but
But it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
Okay. Next up, something that I'm struggling to remember if it happened this past week or the week before, and if it happened the week before, then we forgot to talk about it, and I apologize for that. The BAFTA Awards.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to bring
this
up.
Isn't that the Interactive Fiction Award thing?
No. BAFTA Awards are another, a bunch more game awards, basically. It's another game award show.
I don't know what I'm thinking of then.
The BAFTA Awards happened. And I'm proud to say, of course, that The Last of Us 2 won more awards.
Yay. Good. As it
should. But here's the cool thing. And I actually respect this a lot. The Last of Us 2 did not sweep that award show. Do you know what had a bigger sweep than The Last of Us 2 on that particular award show?
Ghost of Tsushima?
Nope.
Okay. I actually don't know. I'm not.
Oh, I know.
On for time. I legit don't know.
Any more guesses, or you wanted me to give?
I got nothing.
The answer is Hades.
Oh, good. Yep. Good.
Hades won five awards at the BAFTAs.
Yeah, no, that absolutely deserves.
Absolutely.
All the awards. Yeah, no, that game is amazing.
Yep, five awards at the BAFTAs. So. Amazing. Last of Us 2 won Game of the Year, and it won the voiceover performance of the year with Laura Bailey again. Laura Bailey took home another voiceover award.
Well deserved.
I watched her speech on YouTube after the award show because I didn't catch the actual show, but I watched someone uploaded her speech. And she was crying the whole time. And she was awesome. And she was talking to Travis and her son Rowan. He said, "Travis and Rowan, I'm gonna come and give you a hug here in a minute, but I gotta finish this."
I hope people have calmed down with the whole Abby hate and stuff like that.
I haven't seen much of it these days. I feel like it's calmed down. I mean,
that's good.
I think the people that have those opinions still have those opinions, but you know, they're like, okay, whatever. It's let's move on.
Yeah, they moved on to targeting other things.
Right. Because that's what haters do.
It's the perpetually unhappy crowd.
Yeah. So The Last of Us 2 doing very well, winning more awards, cementing its title as the most awarded game of all time. But when it comes to the BAFTAs, Hades took home 5, whereas Last of Us 2 only took home 2.
Man, that's
awesome. Which is still awesome.
It's so good.
It's still super awesome.
It's good for both games.
It really is, yeah.
Like, Hades definitely deserves all the awards because...
Yeah, it does.
Holy crap, that game is so good.
Yeah. Like, it's I did a bold thing. So me and Misty got Hades on the Switch, the physical copy.
Yeah, you guys got the physical copy. Yeah.
We just recently got it. And I was like, and when it showed up in the mail, I said, hey, look, Misty, the best game on Switch has arrived. And look, I am aware there are very good games on the Switch. I'm aware of that. But Hades, man.
Yep.
Love that game.
My pick for one of the best games on Switch is coming out in... there's so much coming out in May. Oh, my God.
Yeah, a lot of things in May, including Mass Effect.
Miitopia. Oh, Miitopia. Yeah. Miitopia is the one I'm looking forward to, because I'm gonna play that on my channel.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to play that, too. I'm going to play it.
I'm also super, super excited for the Famicom Detective Club games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm
super excited.
I really want to believe that those will be playable.
I feel like they will be.
It just seems perfect. It just, yeah. I don't see a problem with that idea.
It's the gameplay seems like it's the same as something like
Phoenix Wright,
Snatcher, and well, you don't probably know what Snatcher is, but. I think, you know, Chillingham, but for sighted people, style of interface.
Okay. That's not bad.
Where you just got a menu of options.
Yeah. You just choose what you want to do at any given time.
You choose what you want to do. I can tell you that Snatcher on the Sega CD plays like that. That game would be entirely playable if it weren't for the shooting mini game that exists in it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and if there were a way to cheat that, I think that game would be playable by us. Which sucks because Snatcher is a fantastic game. If you don't know, it's a Hideo Kojima game.
Oh, cool. Oh, well, oh, that's right. I have heard that title
with
before.
Fantastic English dub that is exclusive to the Sega CD.
Dang.
And
is there, I want to find gameplay footage now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's
the Did Retro Palace ever do it?
Because
that'd be great.
I mean, not a full playthrough, but they have done a showcase as part of their Sega CD Monday thing.
Gotcha.
But, like, I mean, I have to stress that, like, in 94 or 95, when that came out, think of what your standard of voice acting in video games was like back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not very good.
Not very good, right.
Snatcher, like, it's such a standout because of how good it is. Like, you can tell that they have a lot of reused actors and stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty limited. But they made it work, and it was really, really, really good. And it's a shame that it's never been re-released on anything. It is still, to this day, exclusive to the Sega CD. And it's, if you want to get an actual copy of it, it's very, very expensive. There's no reason to get an actual card. Just emulate it.
Right. I get you.
But anyway, yeah, my point is that I feel like especially if it OCRs well, I have a feeling it probably will. Unless there's like weird fonts or whatever.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this might be playable.
Yeah, I think I'm really hoping it is. It seems like based on the trailer that it's going to be. So,
and there's two of them. I mean, that's the especially cool part is there's two of those.
Yeah,
and Miitopia, which I can confirm is completely playable because I've beaten it.
Yeah, you done killed it.
So
you done killed it.
Good stuff coming in May to the Switch.
Indeed, lots of awesome things happening in May.
The Switch just keeps
on rolling.
Delivering amazing games. Like, yeah. Actually, I'm gonna. I just hooked up my Switch for the first time in like months. I'm actually gonna go download at some point later the I'm not expecting anything, but I'm going to grab the Project Triangle demo.
Oh, yeah.
If that's the thing you can still get. I think you can. And Project try that and see what I can do with it. Yeah.
Such a weird name.
It is.
It's so weird that I wanted to keep it.
I mean, they might, because, like, they kept Octopath.
Yeah, right. Like you said, yeah.
Like I said, like, and that was literally just, oh, yeah, Project Octopath Traveler.
Oh.
Yeah, they're going to change
that's
that.
That's such a mysterious name. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. They just took the word project off of it.
Yep.
There you go.
Octopath is so good.
Indeed. Well, I actually don't know, but I've heard that it's good. that's all I know. I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
All righty then.
Anyway,
that
tangent with, city with over that, with.
Well, I don't think I'm done tangenting too, because I think I just realized I have tangents to go on for our next segment. So yay, tangents,
fun.
So that's gonna
that's what we do around here.
What's that?
That's what we do around here.
It's a tangent show. It's a tangent show. That's gonna do it for gaming news. But now, folks, we're gonna head into
accessibility news.
And welcome to
Accessibility News. My voice broke.
Accessibility News. all right. So the official accessibility news item we have today is we have some evidence. This is good news. We have some evidence at last that EA's accessibility efforts in Madden are finally starting to filter through to other EA games.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Really?
EA partnered game It Takes Two, which is that brand new kind of enforced co-op game. You have to play two player. There's no one player option. It Takes Two has menu narration.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a start.
Yeah, it doesn't have much. It has menu narration. It has text size and like subtitle size, and it has the ability to find your partner with the right thumbstick, like press R3.
Ooh, okay. That
well, hold on. That's not going to make it playable. I don't think, because I mean, I'm not totally opposed to trying it, but I don't think it's going to be enough. Because here's the thing: while I'm sure that there are certainly elements of the game where you do have to go towards your partner, a lot of the gameplay that this particular game developer does is things that require you to be cooperative in that you're both off doing something at a different spot at any given time.
Is that the one where you're like, you're thieves or something?
You're actually, no, that one's a way out. That was the same guy though. The same guy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The same developer from as a way out where you're thieves that escape from prison.
Okay.
This one, It Takes Two, is actually believe it or not, it is a rom-com. It is an actual rom-com in video game format.
That's right.
It's the one where
I'm remembering the trailer now. Yeah.
Yeah, where you actually you're this couple that turns into dolls and has to navigate and try to, you know, get turned back and figure out the relationship along the way and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it can apparently change very drastically based on how you do things. That's one of the draws of this guy's games, is that even down to who does what first, like down to the decisions you make as individuals, like, okay, one of us has to go open this door. The other one has to go press that button. But depending on who does either one of those things could change the story.
Huh.
Just stuff like that. It's really cool concepts. But the point I'm making here is find partner is great, but it's not going to be enough to play it for a blind person, because you have to do more than just stay with your partner the whole time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but yeah, those features there, narration being there is what prompted this the story, because it's the first EA game that I know of anyway that isn't Madden. That isn't a sports game.
Yeah.
That has menu narration.
I just hope it trickles down to their sports games like NHL and especially FIFA. I boggles my mind why like FIFA. Which
does
is
FIFA
their
not
most...
have any narration at all still? I thought it got.
I think it has surface level stuff.
Okay, like human VO.
Yeah, stuff, I think so.
Like NHL does?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That's yeah, okay. Okay.
It's where Madden was 3 years ago.
Right, okay. Well, but I guess the important thing here to note is that it's starting to happen to other EA games, which is awesome.
That is good.
Maybe Mass Effect will have narration.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, we've been surprised before, but I don't know.
I know. You know, you never know. The accessibility train is rolling, you know, so it's possible to be surprised.
It is.
I was so hoping for more accessibility fixes in the Spider-Man patch that just came out, because they...
There weren't.
Not that I know of. I didn't really do too deep digging, but as I actually asked Insomniac and hoping I'd get an answer about it. Because it doesn't explicitly say that there are, but I was just kind of hoping maybe there was something. The big selling point of this new patch is on PS5, Miles Morales now features realistic suit deformation based on muscular movement.
That's kind of neat.
It is neat.
Okay.
But it is neat, but it's just not what I wanted. It's not what I wanted. So that is actually all I wrote down for accessibility news.
Yeah, I looked at the outline. I was like, wow, this is going to be a short show.
But I do have a couple of things that I can bring up as kind of, they're half tangents, but half just cool things. Number one, because I want to bring this one up because we talked about it briefly in another tangent in the past couple weeks, multiple times. So I'm going to bring it up. HBO did it, guys.
Oh, yeah, they did.
To the shock of me, yeah. I guess. Maybe everyone else wasn't shocked, but I was really concerned, and I made that very clear on the show a couple weeks, you know, for the past couple weeks, I've been very concerned. You know, time was ticking on by, and there was no sign that HBO was going to hit this mark they're supposed to hit by the end of March. And they hit it, and then they walloped it in the face. In like, they really, really did a great job.
Yeah, actually. I need to still look at the list. But
Yeah. It's definitely the right amount of things. Considering that some of the series that have audio description now are multi-season series and they have complete audio description for the entire series.
Do they have Sopranos yet?
No.
Oh, man, that's disappointing. I've always wanted to watch that, and
I mean I wouldn't be surprised if they will have it though. Like, the thing is, they've already dropped. This is what makes me think they kind of walloped it in the face. They actually dropped two content drops of audio described content.
Ooh, okay.
The first content drop had 90 something titles, like 93 titles. The second content drop had 78 titles.
Ooh.
So, yeah, they're taking it seriously. I'll give them all the credit in the world.
It's good.
One of the big ones they do have audio description on now that I know at least one person is happy about. I haven't seen the series myself, but Boardwalk Empire.
Ooh, I've heard very good things about that show.
Yeah, that has now full audio description for the entire series.
Ooh, I might have to watch that because I've heard that show is amazing and like Sopranos level of quality.
Yeah, I've heard that too. As does Chernobyl. Another big HBO series. Ooh. Has full audio description.
Now you know what that means.
What does that mean?
Well, we know one thing that it definitely means. The other thing I hope it means is Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yes. Hopefully Mortal Kombat.
But you know what? It's guaranteed now.
Oh, yes.
Last
of Us guaranteed, because the article literally says, when the article they released when they dropped the content, literally says all future HBO original content.
Yep. So,
Last of Us series guaranteed audio description. Yes.
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 I'm so excited for this now. For Last of Us,
I am too. I am too. More than ever before. And Mortal Kombat, man, that is just a few. That's a couple weeks away. That's 2 weeks away, I think.
Two weeks away, man.
We might be watching the latest Mortal Kombat movie with audio description, right along with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yes, please. It looks good too, man. It's like
it's just the hype is real.
Weird, weird, my weird, I don't know, my thing with the weird scorpion voice aside, like, the movie's gonna be awesome. Like,
it is. It absolutely is.
My thing is very much a nitpick. It's fine. I'll get past it.
You can get past it. I think a lot of the cast is pretty good. Like the guy that plays Liu Kang sounds like a legit Liu Kang.
Based on
the few words I've heard.
Jax
so far.
Sounds like Jax. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the kind of that's how
that's
I
the kind of voice
him.
You expect. Sonya sounds like a Sonya.
Yeah. It's good.
Kano sounds like a Kano.
Yeah. He's actually played by an actual Australian.
Actual Australian comedian of all things.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you fit the part, you fit the part. So
yeah.
You know. I think everyone needs to dismiss their video game movies suck idea for this movie, at least. Because I don't think it's going to.
Oh, I loved the original Mortal Kombat movie.
I did too, but you know what? I'm going to say something controversial. I liked Annihilation.
I think you're literally the only person.
I might be the only one. I don't understand what the problem with it is.
That track was good.
Because it was the same soundtrack.
Yeah, kind of. Like, you still had, like, Juno Reactor, and you had some new...
The main thing like Rammstein was still there, though. Like, that's all you really need.
I don't know, dude. I credit the... I don't remember if I've said this on the podcast, but I credit the Mortal Kombat movie soundtrack for shaping a lot of my music tastes.
Really?
I am a Fear Factory diehard fan specifically because of the Mortal Kombat movie.
The original Mortal Kombat movie. Okay.
In fact, Fear Factory is coming out with an album soon, and the last album was Burton C. Bell on vocals, which is very sad, but that's a whole can of worms I'm not going to get into because this is not a music podcast. Right.
Or is it? April Fool's, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
The whole time it's been a music podcast, did you know?
Yeah. But like the whole techno, like 90s techno scene, I really wasn't aware of until Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's definitely that's true for me too, I think.
Juno Reactor specifically I like because of Mortal Kombat. They're pretty heavily featured in the soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. I have a problem with Annihilation.
Yeah, I think you are the only person.
I might be the only one.
I think you are.
But guess what? There it is. Now you've heard it. Now you know. I'm the weird one.
All right, I'm not gonna like dog on you for liking Annihilation because I like stuff that nobody else likes. So
yeah, that's I guess that's my thing. That's my one thing that I like that nobody else likes. Annihilation. I actually watched it several times. I had it growing up, and I enjoyed it. Anyway. So I guess if you want to call my standards low, I don't know, but. I get whatever the reason, I'm ready to love this movie. All right.
Oh, I know. I know I'm going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the Scorpion one called? Like,
Legend of Scorpion?
If that's anything to go by, like,
or Scorpion's Revenge. Sorry. Scorpion's
Revenge. Yeah. Like, if that's anything to go by, like, yeah, I'm not worried at all.
Oh, yeah. That movie was something else.
So good.
Even though it didn't have audio description, it was like it was super good.
It didn't need it really.
It didn't need it terribly, no. And Johnny Cage, Joel McHale as Johnny Cage.
Oh my god, that was the perfect.
I was actually really surprised. I mean,
such a good Johnny Cage.
I knew that he could play. I knew that he could play a kind of a butthole character like that because he does in Community as well.
He pulls it,
but he does it really well.
He pulls it off just. He does it flawlessly. Really well. It's so good.
I would love a Joel McHale Mortal Kombat 11 Johnny Cage pack.
Oh my god, yes. I could totally see if they want another get. Like, sorry, Johnny Cage, dude. I forget you. I always forget your name. But, no, he would be a perfect Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite Johnny Cage moment from that, it's a spoiler a little bit, but
sunglasses.
Oh, there was that too. That was cool. But no, when Goro rips off Jax's arms.
Oh yeah.
His immediate reaction is just like fake.
Yep.
It's
yep.
Like, oh wow, you're a dick.
Yep. That's our Johnny.
It's so good.
Yep.
And it was awesome to see Patrick
Seitz, yeah.
Seitz back as Scorpion. That was
in an animated feature like that. That is a nod to me. Like that yeah. is saying, hey, people know that you are an amazing Scorpion, like, sir.
Yeah.
That's one thing in Mortal Kombat 11 I actually don't like. Like I believe that Patrick Seitz is a better Scorpion than the MK11 guy.
I did not. He like my visceral reaction at first was like, this new Scorpion is terrible.
He's not terrible.
That was my initial reaction. Grown on me. He's not bad, but he's not Patrick Seitz good.
Right.
Like Patrick Seitz is a great Scorpion.
Yeah, he makes that character really, really good. So we missed you, Patrick. Hopefully you can play Scorpion something else.
Poor Patrick Seitz, man. He gets like shafted so often.
Blaze Blue, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Man, poor dude. Doesn't deserve this. We're here for you, Patrick.
We love you, man. It's still real to me, damn it.
That's great.
You seen that?
That's great.
Yeah, you've seen that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing with wrestling is fake, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Thank you for saying what needed to be said.
Oh, man. So my next tangenty thing, Night Manager, I'm level 200 now.
Hey, you're ahead of me.
I thought, you didn't accomplish your goal?
No, I was going to do it this week. I was actually going to get to a little past 200 this week, but I ran out of energy and I'm just like, I don't feel like spending money right now.
Yeah, I hit 200 today. Actually, literally before we started recording, I hit 200.
Ah.
I have found another way to do the speed trick in that game.
Oh, another way, huh?
Use the iPhone Alexa app and use the type with Alexa function.
Ah.
Because that does some things. It removes, like, number one, it removes like the time restriction of like if you don't respond within a certain amount of time, then it'll just stop.
Mm-hmm.
It makes that super duper long because some people are slow typists, which is fine. So it makes that super long, but also it literally pastes the full text of a thing immediately as soon as you send it.
Mm-hmm.
So like as soon as you send the command to fight, well, not literally as soon as, like 2 seconds later, the entire fight is on screen for you. So you can choose to either read it. You don't even have to use quick fight here. So you can choose to read it or just either type the word yes, or in my case, I've typed the word yes so many times that it is now in my predictions for the first thing I'll type with an empty text box. So I just have to click on yes and send again, and click on yes and send again, and click on yes and send again.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
Ooh, I might have to. All right,
that's the new thing. That's the new thing. That's the new thing I found out about.
I wish the PC Alexa app would.
Yeah, there's no type for that. Yeah. I checked. I was like, because I wanted to do that too. I was like, but no, it just doesn't. It's all about that mic.
Oh well. All about that mic. All about that mic. No typing.
No typing. Yes, exactly. You see, you followed where I was leading you. There you go. That's our friendship right there.
Yep.
We're just always on the same page. Like,
yep.
Somehow.
Pretty much since day one, too. That's not even a overtime thing. That's just it always has been there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Let's see. I think I had another ranty thing. Or not a ranty thing, but a tangenty thing.
Have you tried Dark Citadel yet?
I have tried Dark Citadel. And I think it's fine. I don't necessarily know that I like it as much as other things in that genre, like Cursed Painting, but it's fine. I haven't played a whole lot of it though. I don't think I want to give a definitive review yet. I tried it. I played part of chapter one, so I don't want to give it a
full review. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to be definitive about that one yet.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on like chapter five, I think now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna give that one more of a shot. I've just been obsessed with pushing my night manager.
There's just something addicting about Night Manager, isn't there? It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I have a problem.
It's so shallow, but it's there, at the same time, it's just like, I want to keep going. You know what it is? I want to see what all I get for rank 14.
Yeah, so about the ranks, how in the crap? How do you rank up faster than one per week? Like, I have to believe if it is really based on performance, that there has to be a way you can get more than one rank per week.
I don't know.
But I have always only gotten one per week.
Yeah, I don't.
Even this past week when I really kicked it up a notch, only one.
Yeah, I have no idea how, like, what is taken into account in deciding, like, oh, you get to rank up this week.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird.
Like, I didn't really do much in Night Manager last week, but for some reason I was still ranked up. Like, oh, yeah, okay, I wasn't expecting that.
That seems to indicate to me that it has nothing to do with performance at all, like they say it does. But I don't know.
It might also have to do with how well you do in being challenged as well. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know.
I have no clue how that works.
It's rough stuff, man. Because I was really hoping for more advancement because I get more skills at higher ranks, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no.
I'm ranked 5 now, I think. First sergeant.
I'm 4. Senior sergeant.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a skill, I forget, Curse of Agony, I think it is, where the requirement for it is rank 14.
Yeah, I know.
You have to be the max rank for that. That's crazy. That's nuts. Which I understand why. That skill is really powerful.
Yeah, it's super powerful, but at the same time, it's just like, but I want it though.
Also, I now know how the Dark Tower thing works.
Oh, what do you mean how it works?
What happens is, I'm pretty sure it's a cumulative thing across the entire game. And once enough people have cleared enough floors of the Dark Tower, Azrael just comes out and just fight him, and he's basically a raid boss.
Okay, so everyone's fighting at the same time. Okay. So
everyone fights at the same time. You do damage. You basically get one shot at the fight. Don't worry about, like, I mean, it's cool if you kill him because you get the awesome thunderclap thing.
I know. What's up with that, man?
But even if you participate at all,
you get 300 diamonds.
Yeah.
So, that's a nice reward. I like that.
Yeah. That's a good reward.
I like it a lot. Also, fun fact, Sturlock, I don't know about you, but I am currently in a position of enough power that in terms of the fight-to-fight ranks, you know, A, B, C, and D, I am flirting with B now.
Yeah, you're ahead of me because I was there for a while, and now I'm pretty consistently getting my butt kicked back down to around, like, 30 in rank C.
Yeah. I mean, that still happens to me sometimes too, but like, I'll get all the way up to, I think the highest I've gotten is like 70 in B, and then I'll get knocked down again.
About I think that's about as far as I've gotten to.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean by flirting with it. Like, I've been B for a second, you know, a few seconds sometimes.
Which is hilarious because, like, neither one of us even got even close to...
I know.
Rank C last time. And I think that's just because we started so late.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
And I think they made some changes under the hood also.
They probably did.
With how the fights work and stuff. I do like that stuff resets so everybody can get a fair shot at doing well.
But at the same time, you still sort of keep what you had. You know, like you can re-earn the stuff you have already paid for and unlocked and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
I like that too. It's good.
So I remembered. I remembered my other tangenty thing.
Ah, yay, tangent.
So tangent number three in the same segment. I wanted to bring back a little bit of discussion, a little bit of praise for choice of games, and this time a particular game that I'm really, really loving right now. And I should have played more of this game when it came out, and I didn't, and I regret it because it's really good.
Ooh, okay.
I'm glad I'm playing it now, though. So Choice of Games did a deal several months ago with the creators of Vampire the Masquerade. And so they have officially licensed Vampire the Masquerade for Choice of Games projects.
I think we talked about that when it came out.
Yeah, I think we did briefly. So the first of those projects has been out for a while now. Vampire the Masquerade Night Road is available. And it is really good. Like,
really?
When it first came out, I played it a little bit. But I wish I had just kept going because it just is, it's really good.
Nice.
It's, for one thing, it's kind of cool for any, honestly, any blind person because it's the first, unless you play the tabletop RPG, the first, like, video gamey exposure to the Vampire the Masquerade universe that you can have. Like, there are Vampire the Masquerade video games, but none of them are playable by us. So this is some great exposure to that universe for us.
There have also been MUDs.
Oh, there are? Oh, okay, that's cool.
Too.
That's cool.
I've never messed with them, but...
Yeah, okay. I was not aware of those. But on top of all that, so the story is already really good, really long, and really deep in terms of, like, the stuff that can happen. The mechanics that they've implemented in this game are nuts. Not only have they implemented all the Vampire the Masquerade stats and skills that will affect the story in different ways and such, but there's also a mechanic that I just found out about yesterday called messy criticals. What this means is sometimes it is actually possible to succeed too well at something. And if you, depending on the situation, if you succeed too well at something, then something may happen. So for instance, if your intention is to feed, because as a vampire, you know, you play as a vampire in this game, no matter what you choose. Every character choice is a vampire choice. Every class is a vampire class. There's different types of vampires in this game, but you're always going to be a vampire. So let's say you need to feed. And you choose to do that, but maybe you're the kind of vampire that chooses to uphold what is called the masquerade, which is, in short terms, the masquerade in this universe is defined as the keeping of the secret of vampirism from mortals. The idea is you don't want them to find out that vampires exist.
Yeah, you're basically your standard vampire lore-ish things.
Yeah,
like.
So maybe you want to uphold the masquerade, but let's say, and this is the example that they give in the thing that explains what this is. Let's say you choose to feed and you succeed too well at feeding. Your vampire beast is unleashed and you will be left with a bloodless corpse that you then have to deal with or explain because you will drain the corpse dry. And this can happen apparently on, they will let you know, the game lets you know what has a chance of a messy critical. It's not it won't happen on every decision. There's not a chance of it for everything. But if a decision ends in an exclamation point, that means that if you choose it, there is at least a chance of a messy critical and something terrible might happen.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm going to have to get this now.
And when you lose control of the beast, your humanity stat goes down as well. There, you do have a humanity stat. So...
Oh, that's cool.
So that's one thing. You also have access to a bunch of vampire powers, some of which you start with depending on your the class of vampire that you are. Each version of vampirism, like each class can have its own little sub story. Like you might be sired by a particular vampire because you are of this particular clan. And on top of all those things. All those things, and I haven't even mentioned everything, but on top of all that stuff, this game, they've basically essentially released DLC for this game. And the DLC for this game is very reminiscent of the kind of DLC you would see released for a full-scale RPG. And I'm not even kidding. The most recent one gave you access to 5 more of the vampire clans to choose from. And keep in mind what that means in a choice of games game.
Oh, geez.
That means you have to write entire segments to make references to that clan throughout the entire story. That means multiple passes back through the story to make sure all the stuff related to the new clans work, you know? Wow. So 5 more clans you have access to, a new vampire power you have access to, and a brand new full-scale mission that you can play during the game.
Wow.
That you have access to. That's the most recent DLC for this game.
That's crazy.
There's a
dang, they weren't messing around with that.
No, I mean
went full.
I think they really wanted to though, because they have the license to do it and they wanted to show Vampire the Masquerade, you know, the official people that, hey, look what we can do with this license.
Yeah.
And this is only the first book. I think they are licensed to do 3 of them.
I wonder if this means maybe they're courting other licensees.
I hope so. I hope so.
And you know, like, hey, this is what we do with Vampire the Masquerade. We can do this for you too. You know,
I hope so.
Wink, wink. That would be awesome, actually.
Because I love choice of games anyway, and I would love. Anyway.
I would love like a Marvel or a DC. I'd be probably more likely to see like DC.
I would take it. I would take it.
Yeah, like, man.
Yeah, Knight Road is. Very good. I highly recommend that you pick it up.
Cool. It sounds really good. I like...
Ooh, there is a lot of... You can just tell, based on things that you do, that there's a lot of flexibility they built into this game. This game, I think this is one of the games that breaks a million words of content, because it's so huge in scope. But you can just tell... Based on things that I'm seeing that are related to things that I've done in the past, you can just feel the flexibility of this game.
That's cool.
It just shines through it. Like, I have a...
Sounds like this is on par with, like, the Heroes Rise
yes.
trilogy.
It is that level of flexibility and detail. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I just got a familiar wolf. Basically, it's a wolf that kind of acts as a familiar to me, as in my vampire form, and that familiar that I just got is already being referenced in the story that I'm proceeding forward.
Cool.
It's just awesome. It's just great. I can't even wait to replay it. Like, it's that good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh man.
Knight Road.
Sounds awesome.
More love for choice of games. I mean, I know I've talked about them a lot. In the past, but sometimes they produce a really, really good one that people need to check out. So
yep,
this is that time.
Heroes Rise especially is very good. What was the other one that you played on stream?
Choice of Magics. Really highly Choice recommend of Choice of Magics. It's so good.
It's very good. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yep.
In terms of hosted games, I would recommend, which is the same thing, you know, Choice of Games, Host of Games is just a spin-off company. It's literally the same script and everything. I would recommend the Zombie Exodus series both incredible.
Yes, Omni Exodus is really good.
Both incredible. I would also recommend Tin Star.
Tin Star is really good.
Tin Star Tin Star is nuts. The person that wrote Tin Star.
I need to mess around with Tin Star more because, like, I started it and just got sidetracked by other things, but what I've seen of it, I really like.
Yeah, Tin Star could have been multiple books. That's how crazy Tin Star is. You can lead completely different adventures with different playthroughs of Tin Star. It's nuts. It's nuts.
Yep.
But it's awesome for being nuts. we respect the ones that go that far.
Especially the Heroes Rise. I don't remember if Heroes Rise is choice of or hosted.
Heroes Rise, I think, is choice of. I want to say it's choice of.
But yeah, the Heroes trilogy.
Yeah, that's a masterpiece. Awesome. That thing's a masterpiece, man. I loved taking that character forward through each game. It's so cool.
Yep.
Choice of games. Night Road. Check it out. Vampire the Masquerade. It's awesome. It's cool. It's also awesome.
I think I'm going to buy it after we're done.
I will say this.
Oh, also. Oh,
go ahead.
I have a thing, a very brief thing I just thought of after we're done with this topic. Oh,
okay.
But
last thing about Vampire the Masquerade Night Road, though, is I will say this. Given that, at least for me, that this is the first taste of the Vampire the Masquerade universe that I'm getting, I will say there's a little bit of, at least at first, a little bit of overwhelming information overflow. Because I have no exposure to any of this.
Yeah, I have zero exposure other than the fact that I know it exists.
But the game does try to help you. Like, there's a full section in the stats page where you can look at, like, a journal of a whole bunch of like characters and entries and things like that. So it tries to help you, but just be aware that there's a lot
Magic Heroes does that too, I remember. Magic Heroes is like as far as I know, a completely original world, but it's got kind of like that. It's got like an actual reference sheet to terms and the lore and world and stuff.
Yeah, you can learn a lot of things if you want to take the time to read some stuff.
Another really good game, by the way, Magic Heroes.
I don't think I played that one, actually. I played a lot of them, but I don't think I played that one yet.
It's like mech suits combined with like magic stuff. Like it's really interesting.
I like the concept. Mechs and magic. It's like Final Fantasy VI.
Yep, pretty much.
Yay. What was your other thing?
Oh, yeah. So there's a game that is coming out. We don't know when now because it got delayed. Sonar Islands.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've talked about it before. It looks cool. There's actually been some demos that people have recorded in it. It actually looks pretty good. It's the same people that made Fear.
Fear. Hmm.
The game that you formerly had number one on over a year.
Long time. Don't have time to take it back. I don't have time.
No way. Yeah. But they were getting ready to release the game on, I think it was like April 21st or something like that. And game got delayed, and it turns out one reason for the game getting delayed is apparently Apple has reached out to them and they want to feature them on the front page of the App Store. And apparently when you do that, there's some extra things that you have to do, so they need to take time to make sure. I don't know what needs to be done, but apparently there are other steps that need to be taken.
That's still really great. Like that's,
but like that's
what a reason for a delay.
I think that might be a first for
an audio game,
an iPhone accessible audio game like that.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. And that gives me better hope too. Like, oh, this game actually might be really good if Apple is coming to them.
I wonder if that might explain something too. So I actually got a DM from them. asking me if I would be willing to test the game. Because, mm-hmm. like, they knew who I was, I guess, because of fear. Or maybe they're actually following what I do. I don't know. But
Probably a little bit of both.
But they asked me if I wanted to test it. And I responded in the affirmative immediately. I was like, of course I do. Like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. Never got a response. Yeah. I even followed up later and said, hey, just want to check on this. I'd still love to do it. Never got a response. But I wonder if this is why. Like, wait, hold on. We're just... This Apple just contacted us. Like, what mm-hmm. if they DM'd me and immediately afterward they checked their email and they're like, oh. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. But yeah, I wonder if that's the reason. Interesting. Well, congratulations to them. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's huge and gives me hope for the quality
Not
of the game.
Not only the quality of the game, but it's great exposure for audio games in general. It's good. It's good to have that people will see this game, whether they want to or not. Ha! But you never know. Like, if it's there, someone might just decide. You know, even someone who isn't even blind might just decide, sure, and click on it and go ahead and get it. And
yeah,
that's what you're looking for. That's awesome.
Yeah. I also had a proposal.
Oh yeah,
for something. A maybe call to the community.
Ooh, okay.
So I've recently made a new friend that is not quite fully deaf, but pretty close. Okay. And it occurred to me that, because I was telling her about the podcast.
Ah, yes, indeed.
And it occurred to me, like, we don't do transcripts.
Yeah, we don't currently. That is something I've thought about, though. It's something I'd like to fix.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do we want to, like, put the call, like, if anybody's, like, might be interested in helping us with that or something. I don't know.
So,
this is literally something I just occurred to me today. Like, that would probably be a good thing
So,
try and do at some point.
So here are my thoughts on this. If someone from the community would like to help with it, great. You can contact me on Twitter. You can contact me any way you want. We'll work it out. If not, what I intended to do anyway was once I lock down this producer guy that I want to produce our show, and once we are changing the way we're recording the show because we have a producer, I will then start submitting, even if I have to pay for it, I'll start submitting the show every week to a transcription site to get it done. Because I do want to do it. Either way, I want to do it. Yeah. So
I feel like it's a good thing to do.
If anyone from the community would like to help us with it, though, let me know and we'll sort it out. We'll figure out a way to do it. In fact, there is a way we could still do it even with Anchor shows, but I would prefer to wait until we have something that is more produced. But there is still, if someone from the community wants to do it, we can still, there's a way still to download the episodes so we can get it done. Cool. That is definitely worth consideration. So hopefully we can get something worked out there. Hopefully soon we'll have a producer anyway, so we can just increase the quality of our show tenfold, I say.
Indeed.
All right. Well, I think, wow. That's 42 minutes.
That's all I have.
42
but yeah,
minutes and 14 tangent. Seconds as of my. This is just one segment, but mostly tangents. But that's fine. What the heck? It's a tangent show. But it's a good show. I've enjoyed this show. But that's going to do it for accessibility news, which means there's only one thing left to do, and that's the outro. This has been the last episode. I mean, no, we're not doing it anymore. I had to do it one more time. No, this has been the Breakdown Walls podcast. Thank you guys for listening to our show once again. We have a great time doing it this week. And even though we had a whole bunch of tangents this week, I think we had a really good show. Talked about some cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to grab Night Road now.
Definitely grab Night Road. Also, while you still can, don't forget to grab Final Fantasy VII Remake from the PlayStation Stout.
Yes.
But definitely grab Night Road. Let me know what you think of it. Let me know which vampire clan that you choose to be.
Yes.
I'm curious. yeah, it's been a good show. A lot of new stuff, a lot of cool stuff talked about, and hopefully you guys check out some of the stuff, because there's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, stuff.
Stuff. We like stuff. All right. our guest, just a quick reminder that our guest is still happening. This is the revealed gorilla. Yep. I did already announce that it's Gorilla, so we'll just call him Gorilla. He is still happening. He's closing on a house. Congratulations to Gorilla.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is tremendous. He will get back with us when he is ready to be on the show, and then we'll have him on as soon as possible. So that is that. That is our show. As always, we're definitely up for some feedback. If you have feedback, comments, questions, things you would like us to talk about, we want to talk about the things that you want to hear about. So if there's something like that that we're not talking about, let us know. We'll talk about it. If you have a correction to submit to us, let us know. We do those too. Believe me, we definitely do those too. It's happened more than once.
Yes.
Sometimes we.
But that's fine. That means people are listening, and that's,
exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. I mean, the analytics says we have listeners, so that's good. But you never know. Sometimes, you know, I don't know. You might put it on while you're making dinner. I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Anyway, that's gonna do it for our show. Oh man, I don't know what it is with me and outros. I'm Brandon Cole. He is Stirlock. We will see you guys next week.